All right. Good afternoon. Almost on time. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Banking and Financial Institutions. I see that we are just slightly short of a quorum at the moment, and so we will begin as a committee of the whole if there's no objections. So we don't need to take the roll yet?
Nope.
All right. Don't need to take the roll. We have two bills on today's agenda. Item number two is AB 2907. And it's on consent, and we'll take that up later on in our hearing. But we do have a bill to hear today, AB 2251 by Assemblyman Stone. Please come join us. And we invite you to share with us your proposed legislation.
Well, thank you. And it's nice that we have the entire afternoon ahead of us to get down into the weeds on this bill.
Of course.
Since none of us have anything further to do, but thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, I'd like to say I would be happy to take the amendments that are discussed in the analysis, and want to thank your staff for being very, very helpful as we have moved this bill through and into the Senate. And I'm very appreciative of your committee's engagement and the assistance that we have received. AB 2251 addresses student loan debt. Student loan in the United States is about $1.2 trillion. It follows only mortgages for the size of debt. In California, it's about $1.2 billion. Nearly 4.2 million students have debt. And yet there's very little control, very little knowledge about what those students are facing, and especially the relationships between the servicers and the students themselves. We had started this bill to try and put together sort of a bill of rights, if you will, or a statement to give students a better way to understand the debt that they've entered into. And working with the AG's office and working with Commissioner Jan Owen, realized that probably the best way to go about this is to set up a licensing program in California so that we make sure that those servicers are providing at least a minimum level of service to our student loan borrowers throughout California. That's really what this bill does, is it creates that framework, puts this licensing system together. I'm also, given some of the questions that have been raised, I think one of the keys is the 18-month implementation. So it will not be implemented until July of 2018, and that gives this legislature a chance to look at it next year, as well as gives DBO the opportunity to put the regulatory framework in place that they're going to need in order to make this an effective program in providing some relief to our students. Given the high rate of student debt and given how impactful that is on our workforce and on success of our young people as they're moving through, that's why we're proposing this bill. And I do have some witnesses in support and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Witness in support, please.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Song. I am an attorney advisor for California Attorney General Kamala Harris, and I'm here today to express Attorney General Harris's support and sponsorship of this bill. Our office continues to receive complaints from student borrowers throughout the state about the servicing of their student loans, and we continue to receive reports from advocates who work with students on these issues. The issues raised through these complaints and reports are very similar to the issues that we heard about during the foreclosure crisis, having to do with mortgage servicing. And as we all know, that resulted in the National Mortgage Settlement and the California Homeowner Bill of Rights. The goal of this bill today is to provide early guidance and clarity in the student loan servicing areas so that California may forestall a larger crisis. We're using lessons learned from the foreclosure crisis and implementing some of those lessons into the bill so that we can ensure that student borrowers are given accurate and helpful information, that student borrowers can dictate how their payments are applied, and that proper notification is provided to student borrowers in the event of a servicing transfer. Moreover, a licensing scheme through the DBO would ensure accountability and oversight of these protections. As Assemblymember Stone stated, the amount of student loan debt is second only to mortgage debt in this country. AB 2251 will provide a fair chance for student borrowers to repay their student loan debt and continue to contribute to our state as active consumers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Song. Any other witnesses in support?
That's it.
Okay, seeing none. Any witnesses in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, Matt Back, representing CAPS, California Association of Private Post-Secondary Schools. Our association has approximately 200 schools throughout California. We are impacted by this bill. We certainly appreciate all the work the committee has done and the amendments that were recommended and the willingness of the author to accept those, but we still do have some significant concerns. And we have a national expert with us today, Mark Belongi, who's a national expert in student finance issues, an attorney in this realm, and I will defer my comments to Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to address you. I'm here today because of a serious concern relating to the private post-secondary schools and universities in the state of California. One of the issues that I see from reviewing this bill, and we do appreciate the amendments and the process that has taken place thus far, but of great concern is the failure to exempt the private post-secondary schools who also, like the other exempt parties, banks, savings and loans, and the like from the bill, the private post-secondary schools, which I think is not well known, actually are also lenders. And let me take a moment to explain. Many of these schools, which are teaching barbering, hair styling, trade-like schools, auto mechanics, have, I'll use a hypothetical, a $10,000 tuition. $5,000 will be obtained for the student via Title IV student loans, and then there's an additional $5,000 that is needed to attend school. The problem is that student doesn't have the wherewithal to obtain that $5,000. So what happens is the school itself then extends credit to that student, usually under either what they call a payment plan or a retail installment contract. It's not a promissory note, and nowhere in this bill does it address retail installment contracts. It doesn't mirror TILA and private education loans, which it should. So that's an issue that needs to be addressed. And as a result, right now we have many, many schools in the state of California that are small mom and pop schools that aren't exempt under this licensing statute, are considered servicers under the definitions. And as a result, they're gonna have to have a net worth of $250,000. They're gonna have to post a surety bond. More likely than not, in my experience in working with many of these schools, they won't be able to do that. It'll force the closure of these institutions. It will remove that from the marketplace in the state of California, which I don't think is the intent of the bill. The bill, in my opinion, needs to exempt the private post-secondary schools from the process. Additionally, I want to point out something else that's of concern, online schools. The way the bill is currently drafted, if you're servicing, under the definitions of this bill, anyone into California for a student in California, you're subject to this licensing. Well, talking to many of my clients who are national schools that do online, they will be hesitant to continue to offer online services and online education in the state of California because they're small operations in various states that have one or two students in the state of California that they offer online education to. So it will not be cost effective. The regulation will actually do the opposite. It will force the education providers out of the state of California. It will remove the ability to have folks that need this education badly to further their lives out of having an opportunity to further their education. So happy to answer any questions. Those are the major components. There's many line items that we're working through. Today's not the time to do that, but I wanted to bring that major issue to the attention of the committee.
Great, thank you. And why don't you pause for just a second? I want to establish a quorum because I think we have one now. And so just give this issue a moment, and if we could take the roll.
Glaser?
Here.
Glaser here. Vidak?
Present.
Vidak here. Galgiani? Hall?
Present.
Hall here. Hueso? Laura?
Here.
Laura here. Morrell?
Here.
Morrell
okay.
Here.
So we do have a quorum. Thank you for your patience. Let me, why don't you stay where you are. Let me invite if there's any other opposition to close that part of the discussion. Anyone else here in opposition to the bill? All right. So let me bring it back and allow the author to respond to some of the issues that have been raised.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are several reports, and we can get those to you if there are questions about it, that show that a lot of the private for-profit schools are really a major part of the student loan crisis and the ability for these folks to pay back. In fact, The default of student loans is more than 2-to-1 with the private nonprofits than the public schools. Public schools are also, the university system, are also under the scrutiny of the legislature and much more public exposure. We don't have that same insight into the private for-profit school system here in California. So if they are servicing loans like everyone else who is, they're potentially part of the problem that we're trying to resolve. What the licensing does is it ensures that the debtors, the students, have access to information, are treated in a particular way that gives them the best benefit possible to address the issues that may arise as the loan comes up. So I think it is appropriate that this apply to all servicers. Now, banks are exempt because they're subject to a whole host of other regulatory requirements, as you well know, that give us comfort that their relationships with their debtors is pretty well regulated. In this arena, it's not. And again, 4.6 million Californians are currently carrying student loan debt, and we all know and have read the newspaper articles about the issues and things that have come up with that debt. As to the surety bond size and the net worth, we've been talking with your committee about a tiered system. I'm certainly open to addressing that if we can get an idea of who those really small players are. And I think as California is at least 10% of the population of the state, it's a very, very large market for any schools to want to come in. And I think our obligation to protect our students versus a potential inconvenience for some of these schools that want to operate in California should definitely fall on the side of protecting our students, giving them the ability to sign up for loans that they understand the terms. If those loans get transferred, they understand that the servicers are communicating with those students in a way that they can manage the debt as mortgagers would. That's what this bill is about.
Good. Let me invite my committee members to see if there's any comments or questions. And if not, I have a couple follow-up questions. Anybody have comments or questions? Senator Lara.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, for bringing this issue forward. There's no doubt that this is something that we need to solve, and student loan debt in California or in the country is out of control. However, I know this is a work in progress. I'm going to see this bill in appropriations. One of the issues that I'm just particularly keen about, if you can answer, is I just want to make sure that students who have loans that are managed by small and medium-sized servicers are not left holding the bag in the event that these small servicers, go belly up. Are we working on protections on that stuff, on that front?
Well, what would be helpful is to get that quantified, who those folks actually are. One of the problems is we don't necessarily know who all of those servicers are, and there are claims that there are a lot of very small servicers that would fall below the $250,000 net worth and not be able to afford the surety bond. That hasn't adequately been explained. So I'm sitting here, I am not sure what the range is, and if there really are those small servicers who would not be able to fit into the licensing scheme. The goal here is not to upset or change those loans out to the students other than to give them the information that they need, but not pull the rug out from under the students who need that loan in order to continue to do their education. What I think our obligation is to get this system under control, get adequate information out to the students so that they know what their rights are, that they know who they're dealing with. A lot of students don't even have a sense of who they're supposed to contact with. Phone calls to the servicers go unresponded to, and then all of a sudden they're getting a notice of default and don't quite understand the situation.
I just want to make sure that that we're actually protecting the students. We want to be cautious of any unintended consequence. We know that the majority of the students that are taking out these loans are low income, poor students, and the majority of which are students of color, that if they didn't have this opportunity to take out a loan,
they look like
we were just talking about our own debt that we still have. So we want to make sure, I'm just saying, we want to make sure we have.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. And that's one of the reasons that we've agreed with working with the committee is to have an 18-month implementation, because there are a lot of regulatory issues that DBO is going to have to come up with in order to make sure that they are protective, that the protective purposes of this bill are able to be implemented, and that we are not effectively pulling loans away from students and not giving them the opportunity for the education. The point is protecting those students so that they can be successful, that they can get into the workforce. And yes, they're going to continue to have debt, which is the real crisis that we're under, but it has to be debt that they understand how to manage as they get into the workforce.
No, absolutely.
That's what we're trying to
and
go after.
We also keep in mind the technology aspect and how the way students are now receiving higher education has changed and has continues to change. And I'm cautious also about the opposition's, not cautious, but I understand the issue on the online stuff. So right. I know there's a lot of stuff that's still being worked out. Look forward to working with you if this bill gets out of the committee.
No, thank you, and happy to continue that conversation. What would be helpful is to get a better sense of who those folks are, because so far from what we've seen, they seem to be larger organizations, well-funded schools that have the ability to come under this program without really any problem. And so those schools that are out there, those potential servicers out there who are at risk, we would certainly like to understand that better and get some information that we can work with rather than the anecdotal statements.
Other comments, questions? Yeah, Vice Chair Vidak.
Sir. Again, I've got the same concerns that Senator Laura has, and especially here with the opposition and these smaller businesses, the ones that, you know, they're telling us right now that they will not be able to operate here if, you know, this goes forward as it is in print today. I'm hearing that they are the some of these small servicers and part of his bunch is a big part of the problem, yet you're telling me you don't have any numbers on any of this either. Can you clarify that? Because I'm a little bit confused.
No, we have
a big part of the problem.
Right.
Yet we don't know how many there are or who they are.
Well, we know sort of the top 10% of who the servicers are. And we understand that it's generally the reports are saying that student default is 2-to-1 or more for students that are indebted to private for-profit institutions. Not the public schools. That's why I don't think it's appropriate to exempt them. What I don't have information on are the allegations that there are small mom and pop schools, small mom and pop programs who would go out of business if this bill were to be put in place. That's why we worked on the committee on a tiering system for the bonding as well as for that $250,000. But unless I get some examples, I'm not sure that those mom and pop at risk organizations exist unless somebody can demonstrate who they are and that they are that could not meet the obligations under this bill, the $250,000 net worth. And so I think we lack that information. I think we have a good sense of generally across the board who the larger players are, where the problem is, and whether the problem is even being driven at the lower end of the smaller, as it's termed, mom and pop schools, I am not sure. But it's the private, for-profit schools, data shows where the real crisis has evolved from. That's what we're trying to get our hands around in. And if it can be demonstrated who those folks are, that they're not a part of the problem, absolutely happy to talk about that. But we haven't received that information yet to know that is the problem, and that's why we have the framework that we have, and again, working with the committee, trying to come up with a tiering system. Yeah, I'm absolutely open to that, but we need to understand it.
Yeah, follow up.
Can I, through the chair?
Absolutely.
Can you identify your bunch? And
well, I think Matt's even
sure.
So
CAPS is we have over 200 schools in California, and I get there are some bad actors in this sector. I've said it for years that I've represented them. Obviously, Corinthian, who just closed, right? They're not a member of our association, but most of us would consider them a bad actor. My group is mom and pop, whatever term you want to use. These are one campuses to probably five campuses. From 10 students to, sure, there are some that have 1,000 or 2,000, but I don't represent the national trade schools. I represent the California-based schools. Most of them are family-owned, from cosmetology, truck driving, nursing, a lot of allied health, a lot of FITM, fashion design, a lot of Hollywood-related. I mean, they're, you name it, they are employing and they're educating all sectors of California. and the vast majority of them are small. Do all of them offer debt? No, I don't think they do. Do a lot of them? Yes. So by the definitions of this bill, they get captured as a loan servicer when all of us would think of them as an educational institution. For instance, the nonprofits, the National University and other, not Stanford's and USC's, but there are nonprofit education that some of you wouldn't even know if they're for-profit or nonprofit. They're exempted from the bill. They are operating and teaching the same things we are, but because they have a nonprofit status versus a for-profit status, they get exempted, we don't. So I can't tell you today which school offers. I can get you a list. I didn't come prepared with which one of my schools do that. I'm happy to do it. Of the 200 plus schools, I guarantee you, and I know, I think Mark probably represents some of them, I'm happy to get you that list, but that's who we're talking about. These are not national corporations. These are California-based small schools.
And what would be helpful if we could get that list and who would not, on that list, who would not be able to qualify for the $250,000 and the surety bond, who would be at risk within that list? We know of the 200 schools. I think we can all think of schools like that in our communities. What we don't know is how many of those schools would be subject to what in this bill. I think it's appropriate that the bill applies to them, but if we want to scale, and that's what we've been talking about, this tiering, about that $250,000 limit, the amount of the surety bonds of those 200 schools, I don't know how many fall above or below that threshold. That's the information that would be helpful to understand what the scope is that we're dealing with.
And then going back to Senator Lara's comment on, I mean, you know, we brought up Corinthian, but if this thing did go forward and there were some schools that went out of business or could no longer continue, and then we have these students who are stuck there, who've already paid some money, and now there is no school to go to, and then what do we do with them? I mean, we're right back to where we were there. So
yeah, well,
that's something to really figure out who these folks are and that we don't put them out of business. And so probably today I can't support it, but you know, if it goes through, I hope that you guys can work this out for the students. That's what we're talking about, the students, right?
Any other comments or thoughts? Just before we take that motion, I want to say that I appreciate the author's willingness to consider a tiered system. I know that your intentions certainly are to help the kids, right, and protect the kids, and that's really what this is about, or there would be no legislation, and I'm sure the same can be said for the Attorney General's involvement in this. I would note that when the witness was talking about schools relating to Hollywood, it seemed to be gesturing to Senator Hall. I did also note when the witness was talking about fashion, he seemed to be gesturing to Senator Lara. I'm not sure.
In his district.
No, I don't think so.
That was, yeah. The school was in his district. He's very familiar with the school, I believe.
the chair may have misinterpreted. Assemblyman Stone, I thank you for your thoughtfulness in bringing this bill to us, and I know it comes out of your concern for our students and making sure that they're taking out loans and they're being serviced in a responsible way and that they're aware of their rights and protections for all the reasons that my colleagues have raised. I appreciate that you've accepted the amendments suggested by the analysis, as well as your willingness to extend the operational date of the bill to July of 2018,
right?
Because I think that that gives you and this committee and those involved stakeholders the chance to carefully examine some of the issues that even today we don't know about that may be very important in the implementation of this. I think if the bill does go forward today, and I hope that it does, that you will take a look at some amendments prior to or in the course of its review by appropriations as it relates to a tiered system. I don't know if you've responded to the issue of the online concern that was raised earlier, so I would want to give you that opportunity in your close. If there's other things you want to say about that, that certain circumstance that you are concerned about or might be able to deal with, I would encourage that. So with that, I want to give you the opportunity to close on your bill.
Thank you. And with respect to online, I think that would probably also be addressed in the tiering as we look at what that structure is. And again, it's why the 18 months to give the DBO an opportunity to set up a regulatory framework, to take into account the details of this, collect the information that they need. Jan Owen, Commissioner Jan Owen is committed to work with this issue and I think stay in touch with the legislature. And then if there are significant issues, that gives us, as we discussed, an opportunity next year to be able to address those statutorily, should we need to.
Great, and I guess, and finally for me at least, that if there are some significant changes that happen to the bill along the course of through appropriations and beyond, that your willingness to come back before this committee so we can.
We will be in very close touch, yes.
Okay, with that being your close, we have a motion that we'll entertain now from Senator Hall, a great senator from Hollywood. No, that's Compton.
And I'd Hollywood Senator.
Ask the secretary to call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Judiciary. Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Vidak? Yes. Vidak, no. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hall?
Aye.
Hall, aye. Wesso?
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morrell?
No.
Morrell, no.
Okay, is that a full roll?
Thank you, Senators.
Great, that bill is out 5-2. We have a bill on consent, and seeing no other business, we'd like to take up the consent calendar now. Senator Wesso has moved the consent calendar and asked the secretary to call the roll.
Glaser?
Aye.
Glaser, aye. Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hall? Senator Hall?
Senator Hall?
Aye.
Senator Hall, aye. Wesso?
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morrell?
All right, the consent calendar.
Morrell, aye.
Morrell, aye. Okay, the consent calendar is approved 7-0. Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful afternoon, and the committee is adjourned.